And welcome back to the Wolverine Live. I'm John Borden here with my broadcasting partner, Tom Crawford. He of all kinds of fame. Obviously, he has his own podcasting network. He's an East Lansing resident, so he understands what goes on behind enemy lines. He's on Press Pass with Jack Ebling. He takes on Rico Beard and others on that show. Tom, great to have you with us, of course.
Well, my greatest challenge lately is just handling all this Sweet 16 Sparty euphoria, if you know what I mean. I mean, Michigan had five in a row Sweet 16s, but Michigan State, now this is the second out of seven. But, yeah, it's a little overwhelming. So I'm in local media blackout. I don't look at local news, local sports. No, that goes off until Michigan State goes off the bracket.
Okay. Well, then let's start out with a prediction, because you heard it here first. Michigan State will be gone out of the NCAA tournament after its next game. I have watched Kansas State. I am very impressed with Kansas State, and Kansas State is going to win that game.
Okay. So you're confident of that, Jay, but you said it with authority, with delivery, like you really know what you're talking about. So
mark it down. Mark it down. It's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, it's like this field is crazy. I mean, there's, you know, because of the transfer portal, everybody talks about this, and it's true. And when I looked at that Kentucky-Kansas State game, and 9 of 10 starters were transfers, I go, okay, this is the reason there's so much balance in college basketball. And but I just, you know, there's probably 12 teams that could win it all. There's, you know, for those fearing a Michigan State national title, brace yourself.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the run ends here.
That works.
I love Kansas State and the way they run with the basketball, that point guard, the way he moves. Wow. I'm very impressed. I think that KSU moves on, and it's not just because I have them in my bracket. I was very impressed with the way they held off Kentucky, that was playing really well in that particular game. All right, you're talking about the teams that have a chance to win this thing. There's one that we know does not. That would be Team Heartbreak, who finished its schedule with a 9-0 run against it in the final minute of play in the NIT. That would be the Michigan Wolverines. Tom Crawford, it just seemed like a kind of like a fitting ending for a team that just couldn't get it right very often at the end of games.
Yeah, microcosm of the season. You know, seven times there's been an 80 percentile on, you know, on these betting sites of closing up. You know, Michigan has an 80% chance of winning the game, and we're 38 minutes into the game, a couple of minutes ago, and all of a sudden that evaporates, and that's happened seven times. I think there's been 15, 16 of these games that are Michigan's been in, that's been at least two possession, no more, and they've won three of those 15 or six. It's just nuts. The metrics are crazy. And that last, you know, was it a minute 45? Was it a minute? It's just a blur right now. I'm watching this thing. I felt so bad for T. Will. He's a really good kid. I really like him. But he just he had an overwhelming moment. And that does, you know, that is not excuse. I saw a lot of this tweet war that went on with his dad and justifiably angry with some fans. But I mean, it was really, really bad look to a bad look season of missed opportunities. You know, it's not like Michigan's horrible. I mean, they wouldn't be in these games if they were horrible. Right. And they've been winning mostly, even with Purdue, and all these other teams, and they've gotten a lot of splits with good teams in the Big Ten. However, when you consistently lose the way they lose, you start to look at preparation, basically fatigue, you know, mental fatigue. I mean, you look at coaching, you look at the whole gamut, poise, it's got to be fixed. Juwan said that. It's got to be fixed. This is a fork road. This is a Juwan Howard 2020 that Jim Harbaugh had. Remember? Well, remember we were at that spot. This is Juwan's time now, and he can do it. He can do what Harbaugh did and turn this thing around. I truly believe that.
Oh, there's no question about it. You look at Jim Harbaugh 2 years ago, and people were saying, yeah. Okay, yeah. If he leaves, so what? You know,
yeah.
It's yeah. And you know, what a difference a year or two of great success can make. And I have zero doubt that Juwan Howard can experience the same kind of success. He's had good years. He's won the Big Ten. He's made the Sweet 16, and the vagaries of college basketball as it presently stands, we know how things can turn around. We know margin for error. I do believe that young Mr. Shannon, who was supposed to be a Wolverine, ended up playing for Illinois. I watched him in these tournament games. You put him on this team, and I think you go from an NIT team to another Sweet 16 team. I mean, oh. I think that's how big a difference that first team All Big Ten player could have made.
Well, I'll go. There's that variable, and there's a Frankie Collins variable. Okay, if Frankie Collins had came back, they would have been the NCAA tournament. There's so many of these woulda, shoulda moments with mm-hmm. single entities to it. You know what I mean? If Kobe Bufkin had played against Vandy, they would have won that game. I mean, they had one friggin' ball handler in that game. It was McDaniel. Who doesn't have a lot of vision. You know, he's not very tall, let's be real. And he's a freshman, and he's getting better. And he's one of three or four guys that I really am happy will come back next year on this team, okay? He's one of them. He's an interior reason another. But I'm just thinking that when you have one ball handler against that pressure, I mean, that's just a train wreck waiting to happen.
There's no doubt about it. And you lost Jalen Llewellyn early in the season. Now, yep. He didn't get off to the greatest start, and people were wondering if, okay, will he be all that they'd hoped he'd be? But he would be another ball handler in that situation. But sure. Now, before we start to sound like, oh, man, if they'd have just caught another break or two.
We're not going to do that way.
No. Because admit the fact that this was a team that did a lot of things wrong and didn't finish well and didn't, despite – what you would like to have had for this other player or that other player. I mean, it was fundamentally unsound in the biggest moment of the year with everything on the line in the Big Ten tournament. And I just think that that's the other end of it. There's the end of it where you have to get some things that you catch some breaks, things go your way. You make the right decisions in who to bring in, get some guys to stay, get some guys to take the next step, all of that. But there's also that, okay, let's deal with the problems that really came to the surface in terms of how you were not getting it done and why you weren't getting it done in clutch moments.
Yeah, you know, it's I talked about this last week. I'm not going to be repetitive too much on it. I do become repetitive at things. But it's like, when we were sitting courtside and we saw the fundamentals, I talked about defensively how Michigan gives ground defensively down in the post. It could be Hunter, it could be T. Will, anybody else. I mean, they look like they're digging in there, but they're, you know, all of a sudden the guy's like 5 feet from the basket. The other thing was offensively, you know, high ball screens are a huge part of Michigan's offense. It's a huge part of all offenses. You watch college basketball, it's guards coming off high ball screens, come up to the fours and the fives, come up and pick up there. And, it, you know, that starts the rhythm, if you will. And Michigan, when I saw them, they're just sloppy at that. I mean, they're not good ball. They're not fundamentally sound all the time. And so that was glaring to me. But, you know, when I think about Michigan, it's just defensively, it's perimeter shooting. I mean, if you could throw out a laundry list of what needs to be fixed, next year. That's like a long shopping list. When I went to Meijer the other day, when I hadn't been in a while, it went like 2 pages. Okay, that's the thing. I thought this is like Michigan's basketball needs for next year, including the unforgiving lack of effort, concentration, mental toughness in the second half of the Rutgers game in the Big Ten tournament. That one, that's the center core of disgruntlement from a fan's perspective or media. Like, I still can't get that half out of my mind.
Yeah. Well, so where do they go from here? I mean, what are the – if Tom Crawford was to fix the biggest one or two things in the makeup and execution of this team from this year to the start of next year, what levers would you flip?
Well, Juwan said after – in that presser that I saw after the Vandy game, I wasn't in Nashville. I'm not sure how many media were, but I wasn't there. And – it was about getting back to Ann Arbor, you know, a couple of days ago and reevaluate. I would have a team meeting like who's in and who's not in. I mean, let's be totally transparent with each other. And if you're interested, now maybe he does this, I don't know. But if you're not in, you're not buying in, then you know, welcome to the don't let the door hit you in the butt. I mean, hit the portal. Okay, and Isaiah Barnes is obviously one in that category already. Find out who's coming back. This is going to be a painstaking situation because you have a couple guys that are NBA draftable, if you know what I mean, and Jet Howard and Kobe Bufkin. I think Jet is gone. And I think that's what he wants. I think Kobe's probably in that 50-50. I hope he comes back. I hope Hunter comes back. I hope Hunter doesn't leave it like this. Because part of me, you know, it's kind of like Hunter's kind of a, you know, on again, off again. Do I like this guy or don't I, from a fan's perspective, you know? And mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot to like about Hunter Dickinson. I mean, people might roll their eyes when I say that, but I think there is. I really, really think there is. And I like him to come back, to be honest with you. And then hit that portal. You know, go shopping. Get that shopping list. You need a four. You need a perimeter shooting. My God, John, perimeter shooting has been so lacking in this program the last couple of years. Go get some guys and knock it down. If Joey Baker comes back, which I think he might, maybe he is one of those shooters. I mean, it finally evolved at the end. And you got a decent point guard in Doug McDaniel, but you're going to need more. You have to have more guard depth. I got the need list, the nice to haves and needs to have. The needs to have list is really long, not just nice to have list.
Well, I think a premium for Juwan Howard would be to somehow convince Kobe Bufkin that not only would this be your team to run, but also this could be your chance to even better yourself with one more year, and you would be that much more attractive to NBA teams. So, I mean, if he could pull off that daily double, then I think this team immediately is better going into next year.
Yeah, now on that Kobe comment, because when I'm watching the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament, and I think of Jalen Pickett. I mean, he is a alpha dog leader of that team, okay? And he's a transfer, so it's not like you got to be a four-year guy, okay? So who is the alpha dog leader on this? That's what they need on this team. You know, they need a Xavier Simpson. They need a Derek Walton. They don't have that. Can Kobe, in your opinion, JB, be an alpha dog leader on this team?
Well, I think he's got the aggressiveness in his game and seemingly the attitude to take charge. But I think he needs to become a little more confident, a little more forceful, a little more take charge. Yes, Hunter Dickinson is kind of the de facto leader, but again, you know, he's not going to be the guy handling the ball at the end of games. He's not going to be the guy that runs the play that gets you, you know, he might be the guy that ends up with the ball in his hands to take a close-in shot at the end but he's not creating. Kobe could be. And I just think that that's the next step for him. And maybe Juwan Howard sells it as that. okay, here's what you need to be. And I've been in the NBA. They're going to look at you differently if they see that out of you in the coming year.
That's true. That's a really good point. Yeah. I agree totally with you. So what, I'm going to throw back this with Juwan Howard. Okay. What is he? And then I'll chime in, to answer as well. But what do you think he needs to do as a coach, JB, to right the ship about his coaching ability and maybe even evaluating any staff changes you might think? What do you think about that?
I think he could use a quicker hook at times. I think if you don't do something fundamentally on the court, okay. Is obvious and blatant. Take a seat.
Yeah.
Son.
Yeah.
Take son. A, that's a generic term, of course, but you've got to, you want to be a player's coach and you want to stress family. I get all that. And you know what? Mo Schembechler stressed a family unit and he loved his guys. But boy, they didn't like him until later on. And, you know, Juwan could use a little of that at this level and maybe take a harder edge with his own team. And, you know, we don't see everything that goes on at practice and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the things that that you do see at times, it just you have the sense that, okay, you might draw a tougher line and have people understand that at one point, Juwan himself this season was saying, we're not getting the execution that we want. They're not doing what we asked them to do. Okay. Well then, what's your next move? Do you have somebody that can come in and be that next option? And if you don't, then you have to think about that when you make your shopping list, like you're talking about.
Yeah. And on that shopping list and, you know, let's be real. I mean, college basketball success is a scorecard that occurs in March. It's called March Madness. And, you know, winning the conference is great and just getting that tournament. But these teams that succeed in March, in March Madness, those are the one that grabs everybody. Those are the ones that get the success label more so than, you know, the ones that go like the Purdue. I mean, Purdue right now, I mean, that to me was probably the most humiliating loss that I've been following Purdue basketball since Rick Mount was playing. I mean, I don't remember a game that they're, especially after the third year of losing to a high double digit seed, being eliminated. You know, you're talking about, North Texas and St. Peter's and obviously FDU now. I mean, that's embarrassing. So, but what was their weakness? I mean, they have the old style of basketball, the big pivot man, the 7 foot four guy, and guards that were freshmen, mind you. So give them, but they're not speedy guys. I mean, I watched FAU and FDU going at it, and they're 94 feet up and down the court. I mean, it was making me dizzy watching that game. And Arkansas, I mean, you need to have guards that go downhill and attack. And we do. Michigan's got a little bit of that in Doug McDaniel. He's not very tall and he's one guy. And Kobe can be that way too. But you need forwards that can dribble, drive, penetrate. And fours and fives do that. And guys that can handle the ball. These teams I'm watching succeed are everybody can handle the basketball. And it's almost like there's no guard, forward, center kind of positioning, pigeonholing. Everybody's moving around, and Michigan is lacking in that. And the Big Ten, for that matter, is lacking in that. And the team is still in it as a three-guard offense. Is starting to – he's got it cooking right now. Mm-hmm. And actually, when Malik Hall in there, they have four guys that can really handle the rock. That's why they're succeeding. And their defense is shoring up, like Tennessee's defense is shoring up. And Michigan's defense hasn't shored up pretty much all season long.
So you said something that begs a question, and that is talking about Purdue. and its complete lack of success in the NCAA tournament. Right. Would you, Tom Crawford, rather be the team that didn't make the tournament that went to the NIT, or the team, the number one seed that became only the second team in NCAA tournament history to lose to a number 16?
No, I'd still take the humility. I mean, Virginia handled that pretty well. They went in the next year and they won a national championship, right? So, I mean, it's when I say it's humiliating to Purdue, I mean, Purdue is a – when I think of Purdue basketball, I think of one of the blue bloods of the Big Ten. They're always in the hunt. They've always been in the hunt, Purdue has. Yeah. And, it's humiliating at the moment, but keep that string of NCAAs going. Don't have NITs mingled in there, or in Michigan's 14-15 season, a 15, sub 500 team, you don't even go to any tournament. Don't have those. Eliminate those. You want to be in the big dance. Getting to the big dance is what it's all about. It's an event-driven sport. And Michigan has got, they got to prepare. Everything they do is, how can we succeed in March? It was pretty nice getting out of the first weekend for Michigan these last, five times they've been in it. Yep, I mean, that's no cool doubt. Stuff. And that gets you the publicity. That gets portal kids watching you, because during the season, it's just all, I'm not saying it's irrelevant, but it's all just white noise out there. Nobody's really focused on it until the tournament.
And the type of energy that Tom Crawford brings gets you a lot as well, which brings us to another subject altogether. We were going right to a little business here. We got to talk about Vitamin Energy and vitaminenergy.com because they do serve as a sponsor for these Wolverine Live broadcasts. Vitaminenergy.com, fitness, energy, health, all in one convenient shop. Great tasting and energy for 7 or more hours with no sugar crash, because there's no sugar in it. It's non-GMO. It's kosher certified as well. The Burner Plus Energy and Performance packed all in one, a thermogenic fat burner. Now, I tried the pomegranate myself. I got the thermogenic fat burner going in my own life. And I don't care. You're talking walking the golf course, keeping that alertness when you drive, you name it. You don't want drowsiness there, and you won't have it with Vitamin Energy. Just use the promo code Wolverine BOGO. That's BOGO, Wolverine BOGO at vitaminenergy.com. It's easy. Go to vitaminenergy.com, add an item to your cart, and get an item of equal or lesser value absolutely free. Give it a try. Give it a shot. Shake it and take it. Vitaminenergy.com. And again, that promo code Wolverine BOGO. B-O-G-O. And now we go to a different sport altogether, one that is still creating some excitement around Michigan. That would be men's ice hockey. And I'll tell you what, this crew of Brandon Nerado is got it going. They win at number one seed Minnesota. They captured the Big Ten championship in a real thriller, 4-3, and now move on to the NCAA tournament, taking on Colgate in Allentown, PA. I was joking with our mutual friend, Mr. Chris Ballas, yesterday, and I said, look, here's all you got to know about this game. You cannot lose to a toothpaste.
Yes. Does this mean they play Pepsodent or Crest in the
final? You could build your whole bracket, but it's just they're playing good hockey right now. They're moving it up. They're doing a lot of good things.
Yeah, I follow hockey starting, Michigan hockey. I mean, I'm so obsessed with Michigan football, Michigan basketball, but I follow hockey. It's Michigan, okay? It's my school, okay? So when we get into February, I start following, and if you notice, I think it's that second Michigan, when Michigan played Michigan State. What the first one was at Munn. I think they won that. Then they went down to Little Caesars and they won that game. And that's when that Frank Nazer, that freshman, came in and had a big goal, and he epitomizes this. Obviously Adam Fantilli as well. How young this team, these contributors, Luke Hughes, all these guys are young. I saw a stat that close to 85% of Michigan's offense comes from freshmen and sophomores. So this is the nature of college hockey, right? Or Michigan's formula, where they get great players and, you know, junior hockey fed, and they, you know, they kind of morph together and get well, and they've been playing. They're a hot team right now, and I like their chances. I'm not thrilled the idea that they're, if they win, if they beat Crest or Colgate, whatever it is, they play Penn State. If Penn State survives, and now you know that's in Allentown, so is that a home advantage? Well, it didn't matter when they played Minnesota up in the Big Ice. They won that game, so. I'm happy with this hockey team. You know, they're due for a national championship, though, JB. 1998, was that 25 years ago?
Yes, sir. I just did a little piece for the Wolverine on that, and that was Boston College at Boston. So there is precedent here.
Yes. And 2 years prior in Cincinnati, they won the national championship. I mean, so they had two in the span of 3 years, and you know, we're a little spoiled there, and nothing happened. But it's so hard. It's like I was saying about college basketball. It's so hard to have everything go together, and then hockey being kind of a freakish sport. You know, the puck, these games are tight, and the puck gets, you know, it's so hard to, you know, I mean, it can just deflect easily, and the goalie gets, you know, messed up, and all of a sudden you lose. And they've lost some, heartbreakers since that 98 one, but maybe this time is due. But they're a fun team to watch, and what a win that was over Minnesota.
That's the amazing, intense aspect of, I don't care if it's NHL playoff hockey, if it's college playoff hockey. I mean, it's just inches. You hit the outside of the post rather than the inside of the post, and your season is over. And it is a very, very intense. I love to watch playoff hockey because you're selling out and everything is out there to be had. We will watch carefully as we see Michigan try to stay alive and go on. And we want to wrap up this segment as we go with a sport that is a full 6 months away from actually playing a football game. But I'll tell you what, it's always, always a hot topic. You know what I'm talking about. This is Michigan football. We've been hearing from some guys lately. I'll tell you what, Braden McGregor and Jalen Harrell and J.J. McCarthy just the other day. And I'll tell you what, this is I think this is J.J.'s team. It's time for him to take over, to step up completely. You know, in some respects, it was maybe still Blake Corum's team last year. But I really think that J.J. has proven himself. He's now in a position to fully step forward and be the face and be the leader of this team going into this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I watched the presser remotely, and you know, I had heard that he put on some beef, you know what I mean? And that's great. Mm-hmm. Oh, 208 pounds an hour, whatever he is. And cause he's a lanky guy, but you know what, he's put together and he's going to need that durability. And we talked about that the last couple with Ballas last week about, there are going to be some games when that RPO, he's going to have to keep it and to get that critical third and fourth, third and six. He's got to use his legs, and there's going to be some punishing moments, let's be real. And so it's, the thicker he is, the better he is. But I'm just super excited. You know, when I'm bored, I go to the depth chart and look at all the players that are – the thing about when you look at Michigan's team, what jumps out at you is recognizable names that are in your mind, three deep, that have played a lot of football. And they're third, they're third string. I mean, they're when I say third string, they're still in the rotation, particularly on the defensive line. But you're seeing names that are like, wow, that he's in the third tier right here. This is crazy. or young guys that you know are going to be rotating in. So I'm super excited. I did like Ronnie Bell's comment. Speaking, going back to JJ for a second, JB, when on the pro day thing, he was talking about how well JJ was throwing the ball. You know, kind of an unsolicited comment there, and that says a lot, you know, from Ronnie Bell. And I'm super excited.
No doubt about it. And excitement is the key word. I think I would call it a justified excitement at this point because of what Michigan has done the last 2 years, but also because they have brimming confidence because of finding the formula to beat Ohio State, which means you're going to win the Big Ten more years than not if you get that one thing done. And also the fact that despite all that, despite two straight years of winning the Big Ten, two straight years of beating Ohio State convincingly, and two straight years of making a college football playoff appearance, you still have a very hungry team because they want to take the next step. All these guys, they're saying, we want the natty. We want the natty. I mean, let's just say it the way it is. Donovan Edwards, I had a brief conversation with him lately, and he put it like this. We've won the Big Ten. We expect to win the Big Ten. We want that to be the standard. But you know what? That the next step is to get it all. We felt like, and you'll hear this from all those guys. We felt like we should have been in the national championship game this past year because, you know, you're in that game with TCU. You didn't win the shootout. You made some big mistakes. They feel like they can do better. They watched the other game, the other semifinal. They saw Ohio State hang right till the end, Georgia, and all of a sudden, so the Wolverines are watching the championship game, thinking, "Hey, we should not only be there, but we should be going toe to toe with Georgia because the team that's hanging in there with them, we handled."
Yeah. No, you're exactly right, and you know, back to your point about talking about the natty, you know, and this is a, you know, historically with Michigan football, when there were mythical national championships. I mean, Bo Schembechler never talked about national championships. He diminished that thought because he just wanted to have his team focus on the Big Ten championship. If something happens down the line with a Rose Bowl win, which didn't happen very often, then, you know, then they'd grasp onto that. But it was never emphasized. But now, then we went to the BCS, and then now we're in the CFP. Michigan slowly but surely just embracing the idea that and you know, being transparent, this is what we want. And part of that is they're so good. And part of it is they have back-to-back years of CFP experience, back-to-back Big Ten championship game wins after never being in Indy for that before. Look at the hurdles. Look at some of these rungs in the ladder they've cleared lately. It's amazing when you really think about it. Now, after Michigan lost to TCU, you know, I couldn't even watch the Ohio State Georgia game. You know, I went for a walk. I didn't even want to watch the game. You know, because I was so disappointed. Let's just say with Michigan's turnovers and how they lost that game to TCU. But I think they're going to learn from it. This is a very competitive team. I think we talked about last week. Also, the coaching staff has been enhanced a little bit, fine tuned. Partridge is back. Man, this is – I'm not trying to put too much expectation in my head or my heart or, you know, the media hype on this team or anything like that, but let's be real. That they – in my mind, they're at 1-1 or 1-A as far as the favorite.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think that this is going to be a loaded team. I want to ask you a personnel-related question because I think it's – going to be significant as we get closer to the season. Mentioned Donovan Edwards. We know Blake Corum is a back that piled up 1,400 yards and couldn't even go in the last couple of games. You look at those guys, and they are running back 1A and running back 1B. It is We know neither one of them was fully healthy for Ohio State, despite the fact that Donovan Edwards had one of the greatest games that any running back for Michigan has ever had against Ohio State, and particularly in Columbus. The question here is, I mean, they're laying low for spring ball, but they're going to be ready to go. Michigan will have them ready to go in the season. What is Tom Crawford's expectation for these guys being on the field at the same time? I talked to another former Michigan great in the backfield, one Jamie Morris, who's been on the Wolverine Live with us. We'll get him on again. But he's a strong advocate for these guys being on the field at the same time, 80 to 85% of the time. I don't see it happening to that degree, but what about you? What how would you navigate between, you know, keeping these guys fresh and being able to give JJ McCarthy all the weapons that he could possibly have on the field at one time?
First of all, it's a great question. It's one that's going to be, you know, it's going to be thrown at, you know, spring practice, or we're going to ask about it media days and a whole bit. But, being in the field at the same time, that's fine. You know, I mean, Michigan, in going back historically, but they had a guy named Rob Lytle and Harlan Huckabee, who were two tailbacks. And so they moved Rob Lytle to fullback. Okay. And you know, did a little alternation that way and put him in there, mixed and matched and things like that. Even though Blake Corum, you know, in the post game embraced the idea of the 26 to 30 carry game, and I get stronger, I get better, I love it, blah, blah, blah. And he was doing what he needed to do for his team. But, you know, I would split it up a little bit in terms of that, you know, that tailback position. And then incorporate Donovan in some type of another analogy with Glenn Doughty and Billy Taylor. They moved Glenn Doughty to a wing back where they threw him the ball. He was a tailback, got him out there in the wing and got him out in space. And I think Blake is the better running back between the tackles in terms of consistent positive yards between the two. I mean, Donovan can break them, with that speed. And when those holes are open, both can burst through. But I mean, Blake is a fall forward kind of guy. And so I would switch him off a little bit in that position, but also, and that combo thing that Jamie Morris talked about, split him out a little bit, flank him out. And so you can get him out in space, and we know how good a receiver Donovan Edwards is. He's terrific. Mm-hmm. He could be a wide receiver. He could be a Braylon Edwards kind of receiver. He really could. So that would be my suggestion. Are you in agreement with that, or where are you at with that, Tanner?
I am very much in agreement with that. You have that versatility. You have Donovan Edwards when both hands are healthy, being able to be a very good receiver, a very good pass catcher. You could put him in the slot. You could put him different places. You can throw him the football. I mean, you could even split Blake Corum out at times and have Donovan Edwards lined up as your tailback. There's a lot of versatility with those guys, but it would go back to, in my mind, the same thing that I talked about with JJ McCarthy running the football: pick your spots, because you don't want to wear those guys out. Don't want to risk, you know, them being injured for the big games. Pull that stuff out for the big games. And when you're playing against the teams that you know you're going to crush, like a second straight non-conference schedule that won't be appreciated by some, including Tom Crawford, and I get that. But in those games, you can really develop some talent. We're hearing a lot about Benjamin Hall, the freshman running back. Yeah. A lot of guys that like the looks of him. Give him some good run in some of these games. Seymour, CJ Stokes.
CJ's got experience. Yeah, give him absolutely. More. Give him more experience.
And really give these backs a break and save them for when you're really going to need them. And if you want to have those packages where Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, they're out on the field at the same time and stressing a defense, absolutely make it happen. So, you know, I think you've got a really good take on it. My only add is make sure you pick your spots for all that stuff, because you have the type of schedule that is going to allow for that.
Yeah, and you're going to have, you know, both of these kids got injured last year. And you're going to have to build depth to almost assume that's going to happen again. Maybe it's one or two games or whatever, and it's not, you know, season ending like it was for Blake Corum. And I still think miles on the vehicle, miles on the car have a lot to do with that. I've talked to a couple former running backs here at Michigan State who went on and played in the NFL, and it was like, I had too many carries in college, and it affected me. I mean, it's just like you only have so many. It's like when you buy a new car, the more miles you put on, the more bad things are going to happen, you know, sooner. Yeah. And but it's fun to have that, those many terrific tools in the toolbox, if you know
what I mean. All right. Last thing before we go, it's also fun to hear Michigan talking about winning the Natty as opposed to riding the ship and not finishing under 500 like we were here in 2020. Is it too much too soon? How do you feel about that? Because, you know, it's a little bit odd to hear Michigan players talking about we want the national championship. That's what we're after, as opposed to, you know, let's take these one at a time, and we'll break it down. We'll do our best in the non-conference, and we'll build up to, you know, the sort of talk that we was, I think, encouraged by coaches in the past. I don't see any discouraging of the highest goal talk. And you can like that or you cannot. What's Tom Crawford think?
Well, I mean, it's, as a program, it hasn't happened. And, you know, it was, you know, a mythical shared one in 1997 with Nebraska. You talk about, you know, we were talking about how long it's been since hockey at 25 years. It's 26 years since this football program has won a national championship. And that's a long time. I think, you know, they've won Big Ten titles now. They've gotten the Michigan State or the Ohio State bugaboo conquered, and hopefully they can, you know, win a back-to-back with Michigan State. But they actually could win a national championship and not win the Big Ten championship if Ohio State and Michigan both end up. And God, I don't want this to happen, but I mean, you know how Ohio State got in the playoff and they didn't win the Big Ten title. I mean, those two teams are that good. They really are. And Ohio State's going to, you know, they're going to come back with a vengeance. I know that game is in Ann Arbor, and they're good, but they're going to be ready. And you know, so Ryan Day's a good coach. So let's just be realistic about it. So it's going to be hard, but I have no problem with saying we want to win a national championship, because going the other way certainly hasn't worked the last 26 years. Just be flat out transparent about it. Say, we want it. Have that mindset. What are you doing today to win a national championship? It's just like with Ohio State. Remember the mantra over at the Glick Building? What are you doing today to beat Ohio State? Whatever. What are you doing today, those 120, 130 kids, to win a national championship? And maybe that's a good creed to, you know, circle the wagons around.
All right. We'll leave you with some reminder predictions and some new predictions. For Michigan, Ohio State next November, 50% chance of snow flurries on the day, 60% chance that Michigan wins the game, and 75% chance that KSU ends Michigan State's basketball season in the next game. Remember, folks, go to vitaminenergy.com, buy one, get one free using the code WolverineBogo. Tom Crawford, it's been great talking with you this evening, and let's do it again real soon.
Yeah, and I like all those predictions, JB, so keep them coming. You know, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. Until next time, JB.